Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, our shield, our God, look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. There is inside every man and woman, inside of every created person, a longing. It's in every human being. We're all created with it. It is a longing deep inside of every one of us that cannot be shut off, it cannot be stopped, and it demands to be met. There is a longing in every man and woman, to put it one way, for home. For a place of belonging. A place of safety. A place of rest. A place, as the psalmist here describes, a place of blessing. A place of blessing in that it's a place of affirmation. And a place that is for us a source of identity. That speaks to who we are, speaks to it clearly, speaks to it consistently, speaks to it lovingly. And becomes then for us this place of blessing, a place from which we live. A place from which the fullness of who we were created to be lives out. And so this place that we long for is a place of sending. It's a place that trumpets loudly in our lives and in our, you can do this. And sends us out to be and to do what God created us to be and do. And at the very same time, home is a place of returning. It's a place that no matter where we go or where we find ourselves or what we find ourselves up to, exists and is connected to us, and we have sent from it, but we return to it. It's always there. It's always available to us. And we long for this. A place of home, a place, to use the words of Psalm 84 that we just read, a place of home, a place to dwell. With all of our being, we long to dwell in a place like this. To rest there. To be at peace there. To know, as Paul describes as he walked long and long with you, to be content there. No matter what happens in life. Psalm 84 is a psalm of longing. It's a psalm that taps into this primal human desire. It's written by the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah are simply that, they're the sons of a man named Korah. The descendants of a Levite. And so these Levites, in their descended role, inherit their role inside of the temple system. And this group of Levites wrote many psalms. And most of them, if you take some time to look through them, are full of this language of longing. They're very connected with the true and honest places of their heart that desire home. These guys are Levites, but specifically they were Levites tasked with the care and the oversight of the outer courts. And so they were gatekeepers. So when the psalmist says, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God, it's kind of interesting. That is exactly what he is. And if he saw wrongly his role, or what he'd been called to, or what God had called him to, if he'd seen it in the flesh or out of some sort of man-made desire for more, he actually probably could have easily become a bit resentful. In that, yeah, I'm a Levite, but I got like the lowest rung of the ladder job. I just get to hang out in the outer courts, by the gate. But you don't ever hear that sentiment in their psalms, in their worship. That they see that they have actually been given a place of honor, but be it a low place, the reality of it is, I think part of what's happening is their place, their role, isn't what gives them their sense of belonging. Their identity and their place of contentment isn't found in how shiny their ministry looks or how important they feel. But it's found simply in this, that they dwell in the place where God dwells. These are Levites tasked with the care of the outer courts. They're gatekeepers, but they're also worshipers. They are people of worship. People of the presence and people of worship. And so all through Psalm 84, it speaks of the joy of singing praises to God. And so much so that they end up writing Psalm 42 to 49, all written by these guys. Psalm 84, 85, 87, and 88 again, all written by the sons of Korah. Men of worship. A people of worship. We see here in Psalm 84 and in many parts of the other psalms that these guys wrote, the honest worship of the people of God. The psalmist here is an example of those who have learned that the longing that he feels, a longing that's common to all of us, can only be fulfilled, can only be met, can only be satisfied by God. Only in the presence of God, in the place where He dwells, will the longing of the human heart be properly satisfied. All of us, every created man and woman, has in them this longing. And it can only be met in the presence of God. This longing that we feel, this need, this desire, is profound. Now, sometimes, even though we feel its profound nature, we feel its drive, we may not fully understand what's going on. And so you may talk to someone who says, that's not true, Chad. I don't feel a longing. We can actually not recognize what it is that's going on, what it is that's driving us, especially when we've really become disconnected from God, when we've really become in seasons or in our life as a whole disconnected from the one who can satisfy that longing. But the reality of it is, I am convinced this longing is profound in every man and woman. And because of that, we will find a place to dwell. I think the reason, there's a couple of them, why this longing is so profound in us. First of all, quite simply, it's so profound in you because it's literally in your nature. You were created in the image of a dwelling God. A God who dwells. And who dwells in communion. Who dwells in love and relationship and safety at all of these places. Who Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in no sense of competition, but in oneness, affirming one another. There is a dwelling of God, and you are created in His image. In you is this longing from your creation. It was put in you. You were created to dwell. Designed to dwell. But often, for all of us, and this is the grand story. This is the story that God saw and moved in response to. That many of us misplace that longing. And if you're like me, you maybe have a tendency to actually to misplace it often. We misplace that longing. We don't point it or posture it towards God as the answer. And instead choose to dwell anywhere else. So the psalmist says, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Why? Because better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. And yet the human tendency is to dwell anywhere else. If you're not connected with that tendency, I actually pray that the Lord would help you see it. Because it's in all of us. It's the reason we needed a Savior. Yes. And it's the reason why I need Jesus actively in my life every day. Because I have a tendency, when I feel that longing, I don't always turn to the courts of the Lord. I don't always come to the dwelling place of God. I have tendencies to try and dwell in work. To try and dwell in even what seem like good dwelling places, but in unhealthy ways, like to dwell in family. To try and find somehow my identity or my value in my role as a husband. We try and dwell in places like sports teams or places of recreation, like our hobbies, huge right now. Or we try and dwell in spaces of really kind of like specific knowledge. Like you're the coffee guy. And you just live and breathe it. And we find these places of identification and value and meaning. And we try with every fiber of our beings to make it home. And it doesn't work. The God-given gift of dwelling. You were created to dwell by a God who consistently never fails, always provides you a place to dwell. You weren't put into a conundrum. We find ourselves in one often, but it's not a conundrum of God's making, it's our own. The God-given gift of dwelling is often disrupted and disturbed. Our ability to dwell broken, stolen, or even at times, I have to confess in my own life, consciously abandoned. We're like the prodigal son, I've chosen to go my own way, to leave home. Why? When I'm created to dwell with God, would I, and I'm invited to dwell with God, and He's made a way for me to dwell with Him, would I choose to dwell anywhere else? Why? Well, there's actually lots of answers to that question. But at the root, at the foundation of most of them, is this. Something has happened and trust has been lost. Somewhere along the way, something happened in my heart, in my life. Something I did, something that was done to me, something that I've witnessed happen. And it has caused me to believe that this place that I'm invited to make home isn't safe. Isn't actually an answer to the longing of my heart. It happens already in Genesis 3. When the enemy comes to Adam and Eve and says, "Is that really what God said?" And sows in this lie that breaks trust. Suddenly Adam and Eve look at each other and say something along the lines of, "Are we getting played here? Is he really good father? Or is he withholding from us?" And suddenly this place of dwelling with God before the fall, in relationship with him, distrust is sown into their hearts, and they begin to look for a new place to dwell. One they create themselves. One they take into their own hands, into their own control. And thus begins the human condition. Psalm 84 lends itself, or tipped me off to this thing of distrust and broken trust, where, and many of us in places of our heart journeys and our healing journeys have recognized that part of my problem is I'm having a hard time trusting, be it God or others. But the last verse of Psalm 84 says, "Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you," who's restored back full trust, faith, belief, surrender, the giving of oneself to God. And suddenly they are blessed. Why? Because they can again find home. The problem with these places of brokenness in our lives that break and erode trust and begin to remove us from home, the problem is that when we lean into them, when we walk away and we don't look into the presence of God for the fulfillment of our longings, is that when we do that, even when we walk away or try and ignore the longing will not go away. It's in you. And you can't shut it off. And so we're left feeling homeless. Like orphans, believing that we need to meet our own need for home. And ultimately, we begin to dwell in places that can never satisfy the longing that we have. It's certainly true of the world around us. And I think we're supposed to be aware of that and minister to that and bring hope to that. But I want you today, in preparation for this week and for next weekend, to ask the Spirit to come and to reveal to you where it's true of you. Because even as the people of God, we are, Melinda led the hymn this morning, we're prone to wander. To try and pitch my tent, to make home in other places. This longing is profound because it is in our nature. And second of all, it is profound for a really exciting reason. That longing in every man and woman is as intense as it is because they are being pursued by God. That no matter how far they run, He's on their heels. He's drawing them inviting them to come home. God desires to dwell with you. God desires to dwell with us. His intention in our creation was that we would dwell with Him. We see this throughout the story of God. In the Exodus, Moses, he goes into Egypt. God sets the people free. They head out into the wilderness, and one of the first things that God has Moses do is set up a tabernacle. The word tabernacle is often translated in our Bibles, dwelling place. To set up a dwelling place for the presence of God. Not because God needs bricks and mortar, but because His people do. He's a sacramental God. He always has been. Set up a tabernacle. And so they set up a tabernacle that looked like a giant fence. A very specific proportions. God says, I want a house, and I've got some pretty clear ideas about what I'd like it to look like. That's a whole other sermon. But He sets up this fence, and inside of that fence, when you first come through its doors or first come through its gates, you would run into the sons of Korah, the gatekeepers, and into the outer courts where people would make sacrifice and where they would confess their sins. And they would enter into a place of worship, and in praise, they would begin to get real with God in this place of His presence. But then inside of that fence was a curtained room. The tabernacle was movable because they were in the wilderness. They were caught on the move, so it could be taken down and put up and taken. But everywhere they would go, when they'd stop, they'd set it back up. And in the middle was this tented room. And when you would walk into it, you would enter into the holy place. And then inside the holy place, there was a veil. And behind that veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And on the top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. If you want to look at it deeper, you go to Hebrews 9 and listen to a New Testament telling of this, what was happening there. And on this mercy seat would sit the presence of God. Only once a year did anyone enter into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark was. But it was no mistake in the minds of God's people that there in that place was the presence of God. God dwelt with His people. And then that tabernacle is made permanent by King Solomon, who's finally allowed, after his dad wanted to his whole life, Solomon's fine, to build the temple. And the temple is made a permanent structure, but a very similar layout and picture to the tabernacle. Now a place of the presence of God, and it becomes a place of worship for the people of God. When they'd pray, they would face that direction. They would come to this place of the presence of God. They would go on pilgrimage to it. They would bring sacrifices there. And God does this because He wants us to see He's present. There is a dwelling of God among us, and you're invited to come and to make it home. And then something absolutely crazy, mind-bending happens. And God Himself takes on flesh and dwells among us. John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came and dwelt among us in flesh. He came and filled the human story. He entered into it. And one day, John chapter 2, starting in verse 13, tells us this story of God in the flesh dwelling among us, walking into the temple. So there's this like crazy thing happening where the place of the presence is inhabited suddenly by the present. Like Emmanuel, God with us, comes into the place of the presence. It's just like, okay, The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there, and making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. He poured out all the coins from the money changers, and he overturned their tables, and he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away and do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." He walks into the dwelling place of God and he will have none of it. It's like, no. Whole nother sermon. The Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Translation, where do you get off? Listen to Jesus' answer. He's explaining himself. What has just happened? What is going on? Listen to this. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up." The Jews then said, "It's taken us 46 years to build this temple. And you'll raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. The Lord is here. And I am He. God wants to dwell with us. He desires to dwell with you, for you to find your home in Him. And He has been actively trying to show us that since the day we needed Him to. Since the day we started trying to make our home anywhere else. And the sons of Korah, they caught it, and so they worship. "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord. My soul longs and faints for the courts of the Lord." They've come into connection with what it is that they long for. They've named this longing, and it's not for all anywhere else. It is for the presence of God. When Jesus dies on the cross, the veil is torn. Powerful. If you go to Matthew's gospel and read the account, as he breathes his last, thunder, lightning, the ground shakes, the graves open, and that veil between us and the Holy of Holies is torn from its top to its bottom. As the one who said this dies. John 14. He promises the Holy Spirit, telling us that you know Him, for He dwells with you and He will be in you. He just keeps getting better. Temporary tabernacles to permanent temples to God Himself in the flesh, who then promises that He would not only be among us, but He would come by the Spirit and be in you. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that the Holy Spirit dwells in you?"
That's true.
God desires to dwell with us, to dwell in us, to dwell among us, to dwell, to make His home. And His heart for you is that you would find your home in Him. That longing, that desire is in you because God put it there, and He wants to fill it. He wants to meet it. It causes me to ask myself, where have I been dwelling? And I will admit that that question causes me some sadness. It causes me some repentance. When I recognize that there are parts of my life, parts of my heart, that I've chosen to make my home in other places, in other ways. There's repentance needed, a returning. There's also really clear and understandable reasons why that repentance, that returning, is actually hard for me. There's reasons why I would choose to make my home elsewhere. And I need the God who is my dwelling place to move in power to set me free to come home. If it was as easy as all of us just kind of putting two and two together, we wouldn't be in this mess. But we need the one who is our home to bring us home. So I invite you to draw near, remembering James' promise that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us, to come close. Choose, even this week as you prepare your hearts for next weekend, choose to dwell where God dwells. How? How do we do that? Number one, humble yourself. In this way, that you admit you can't make home. You can't meet that longing.
Amen.
And humble yourself and say, Lord, You're Lord, and I give You that place in a fresh way today. So whatever You want to do, whatever You need to do, God, I want to find my home in You, and so there is nothing. I would say this again today fresh. There are no no-go zones for You. Whatever You need to do that I might make my home in You, be found in the place where You dwell, do it. I let down my guards and my pride and whatever it is that would keep me from letting You do, my fear. In the name of Jesus, would You come in the healing presence and restore back to me what it takes. So number one, humble yourself like a gatekeeper. Be willing to stand in that place and say along with the psalmist, rather be a gatekeeper in the dwelling place of God than to live a day in the house of the wicked. And second of all, worship. Worship. Open your hearts to God. Take a step towards Him. Draw near in worship. Psalm 84, all over the place, over and over again. I sing with joy. I sing. It's very interesting. One of the commentaries I read pointed this out. I might have missed it without their help. But how lovely is Your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. He's in the place of deep longing. And the next verse says, my heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. In that longing, I choose to worship. I've said this before, I will say it over and over again. Guys, that is not hypocritical. Nothing could make more sense than to, though I don't feel like it, to worship. And so I just encourage you this week to humble yourself and to worship and to come this next weekend. Come in humility. Come in praise. Come ready and expectant. Before our service today, I was praying over some, and I would pray it over all of us, that the Spirit would come and begin to stir in us in excitement. I actually think we need to pray that over each other and over the others who are coming who are not part of our community. That God, by His Spirit, they would actually come in here kind of excited. Even if they don't know why. but that the Spirit would begin to draw us to Him, that we would already be taking steps. Because like the psalmist ends this psalm, Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in You. The one who makes his home in You. And so let us take some time. Melinda, would you come? What song were you doing right now? Probably none. Can you do that one that I sent you?
Yeah.
I want us to take a little time right now to, first of all, acknowledge the longing of our hearts. So just right off the hop, this is where the humility comes in. To just say with my heart and with my being, yes, I have that longing that Chad's talking about. And I can't meet it. So to acknowledge it's there and to honestly call it out. I have that longing and I cannot meet it myself. And then to acknowledge in that place that what I really long for is the presence of God. What I really long for is the dwelling place of God. To, in a way, already, right now, start to have a word with the devil. My heart does not long for all these things. These places of my fixations and my sin and my addictions and my brokenness. It does not long for self-sufficiency. It does not long. That is not the source of my longing. Yes, I long, and it is for the courts of the Lord. And then finally, having acknowledged these things, to just take a moment, and I'm going to have Melinda just sing over us, and then I'll lead us to the table. Having acknowledged this longing, and that it is for God, that we would respond to His invitation in repentance. That we would turn from everywhere else and take a step today towards the dwelling place of God. So as Melinda sings, I just bless you to just rest, to dwell, to take step towards the God who is home for us, the God who is our dwelling place. The psalmist says this, and it'll be our theme verse next weekend. Blessed are those who dwell in the house of God, ever singing His praise. Amen.